Well, greetings, everyone, in the name that is above every other name, our Lord and Savior, our wisdom. Well, as people, we make choices, simple choices, every day in life. Choices like what clothes to wear as we dress, what to eat for breakfast, what to have for lunch, choices on our, you know, about what kind of food we're going to eat, and even choices where we're going to sit. Some sit here, some sit there. But other choices are not so simple in life. Choices like what school to attend. What school should one who's coming out of high school attend? Or further education. Whether to rent or to buy. Not as easy of a choice to make in life, brethren. Well, the Bible also speaks about choices that people in life make. Jesus spoke of two in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 7, verse 13. He mentions two paths, one narrow and one broad or wide. The broad path, Jesus says, leads to destruction, and the narrow path leads to life. Further in chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, Jesus speaks of two groups of people, one who doesn't obey him and the other who does obey him. The one who doesn't obey him is like one who builds their house on sand. Their house on sand. When the rain comes, what happens? Their house collapses. It falls away. But others listen and obey Christ. Jesus likens them to one who built their house on a rock. Well, our text today presents the same idea, only using different terms. In James chapter 3, what we're looking at today, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we see two kinds of wisdom presented in our text. Two kinds of wisdom. The first wisdom is what he calls earthly or natural, worldly or unspiritual. The other wisdom is from above. It's heavenly wisdom. In this sense, James lays a choice before you today. Are you to follow worldly wisdom, or are you following worldly wisdom right now, or wisdom from above? Follow along, brethren, as we read the text for today. We'll read it straight through, and then we'll ask the Lord for his covering and his blessing in prayer. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works, his deeds, in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy or envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing on our gathering today. We ask you to be with us. Give us ears to hear, Father. Give us mouths to speak from here, Lord, that we would speak the things that you would have us say. Bless your people. Give them attentive ears, Lord, that they would apply this text to their own life where they are lacking or they are looking to worldly wisdom, and that their attention would be drawn to wisdom above that is pure. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for getting us here safely. We pray for those who are sick amongst us, Lord, in this weather, the fluctuating weather we're having. And we just ask your covering on this service and in our lives. Amen. Well, James has already, brethren, spoken of contrasts and choices in this epistle. First in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. There he spoke about the one who says he is religious. I'm religious. But this one, it says in a text, is self-deceived. This person, religion, James says, is worthless compared to the one whose religion is pure and undefiled. Next, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 26, he spoke of the contrast between the one who shows favoritism compared to the one who cares for the poor and the needy in our text. Now in chapter 3, we see the same thing done, but spoken about in two wisdoms, two ways, ways of wisdom. One way of wisdom is earthly, and the other way of wisdom is heavenly. And James lays out his premise, what this text is about in verse 13. And it could be the premise for the entire letter. The premise for the entire letter. He says, who is wise? He asks a question, a rhetorical question. Who is wise and understanding among you? And then he gives you a command. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The believer, brethren, the one who is in Christ, a true Christian, will display it by his good conduct. You will see good works in that person's life, his works, his deeds. But they're to be done in meekness, in gentleness of this wisdom that James speaks about. James says wisdom from above will be revealed in your life, just like wisdom from the earth will be revealed in your life. But he's calling our attention to this wisdom from above that will be revealed in your good conduct, how you behave, how you act in this life, and that these works are to be done in meekness of wisdom. As chapter 1 put it, Christians will be doers of the word. Remember we looked at that? You will be a doer of the word. You won't just sit here, hear the word like many do who come to church throughout the church universally. They hear the word, they go out the door, and it's over. That's it for the week. They live their life as if they didn't even hear the word. But a Christian, one who is truly saved in Christ, will be a doer of the word to some extent. In chapter 2, he also said, the believer will display an active faith, a faith that is alive, not a dead faith, as he called it there. And James does so again here in chapter 3, verse 13. James continues with an imperative. And this is an imperative in the third person, and sometimes it loses its command in our English. Let him, it says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But it is a command, brethren. It is a command. Show it. And both these words that we see in this verse, wise and wisdom, are very similar words in Greek. One is sophos, wise is sophos, and wisdom is sophia. The question is there two types of wisdom in Scripture? Are there two types of wisdom in Scripture? Well, wisdom in Scripture can mean simply humanly derived knowledge. And we see this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. What did Solomon say about wisdom there? He said, wisdom brings grief and frustration. That's not wisdom from above. Grief and frustration. Or on the other hand, godly wisdom, spoken about in Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. Same type words that we're going to see in our text. The righteous one utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. Later on in Proverbs, we see wisdom leads to uprightness. That's godly wisdom. It leads to the one who is upright. And in Proverbs 14:8, it says wisdom is given to discern right and wrong. So we see this this contrast of one wisdom here, an earthly wisdom, and a heavenly wisdom, a wisdom from above. And James speaks of both wisdoms in our text, earthly wisdom and wisdom from above. Those are the two terms I'm going to be using. Natural wisdom, in other words, what the world would look at as wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. Wisdom from above is godly wisdom, wisdom that God imparts to you as a believer. In verse 13, he says, the one who has godly wisdom will display it. It will be on display in your life, in their good conduct, in what you do, how you behave in situations, how you are in life. You're to display a right living is what's going on here in this text, he's telling you. And a lot of times we shun away from these things. We look at these things as, oh, moralistic and stuff like that. But he's telling you in this text, you will display godly wisdom in your good conduct. In verse 13, he's saying that anyone who is wise and understanding, anyone who is wise and understanding, show it. Show it in your life by good conduct, by deeds that reflect what? Wisdom from above. And this, brethren, ought to be done in meekness, not, I'm wise, I'm great, I know these things, I know all theology, I know all these things. Not at all. In meekness, gentleness, humility. And the world looks at meekness as a bad thing. We see this all the time. The world looks at meekness as a hindrance. Oh, he's meek, he's gentle. As almost like a feminine trait. But the Bible, brethren, doesn't use this term in that manner. The original word here can be translated gentle, gentleness, humility, do it in humility, or meekness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for what? For they shall inherit the earth. Also in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke, Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am meek. Jesus associates himself with meekness and being lowly in heart. And there you will find rest for your soul. And James answers his simple question here. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. The wisdom that God has blessed you with, brethren, as a believer, will be displayed in some form, some way, in your good conduct and in your deeds, but in humility, in humbleness before God, with a humble heart. And that's what we see in verse 13. Next, in the center of this text, verses 14 on through verse 17, we come to the contrast between wisdom, earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, and on the other hand, wisdom from above. Actually, he addresses them both in verse 14. After the command, James starts the contrast off with the Greek conjunction, but if you have bitter jealousy or bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy or envy and selfish ambition exists, this is the result of this type of wisdom. There will be disorder, the opposite of unity. There will be disorder and every vile practice. See, he goes from the simple envy and self-ambition to all sin. It leads to evil practices. And brethren, in a general way, we see earthly wisdom all about us. We hear it. We hear people speak about it in terms that people use today. When you see one come face to face with paths to take, which path shall I take? What choices to make in life? The first thing I often hear from people is, I got this. I got this. It's a dependence, brethren, on the self and not on the Lord of all. Don't worry. I got this. I can do it. Another form of earthly wisdom that we hear is, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. In other words, I'll do whatever it takes to advance, to achieve, to win. Whatever it takes. If need be, I'll degrade others so that I may look good. I'll cheat to advance. I'll cheat to get ahead. I'll steal where stealing is needed. Or even in extreme cases, we see this many times, even kill to advance. Even kill. Whatever it takes is the earthly wisdom that I'm bringing out here, I'll do. That's what the world looks at as wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. That's unspiritual wisdom. That is demonic wisdom, brethren. I got this. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Sad, but it's true. But James is more specific than this general aspect that I've just brought out to you. General, he's more specific at first, and then he reads to the all-inclusiveness. He goes to the all-inclusiveness at the end and speaks of bitter jealousy or envy, selfish ambition in your hearts. Jealousy can be easily translated envy here as well. You see what others have, and you desire it. You see what others have, and you desire it. You seek the best for yourself at others' expense. That's what he's bringing out here. James pairs sin and envy with selfish ambition. These two things. Like the sin of pride, this sin affects most of us to some degree. It affects most of us. Desiring what others have, brethren, is simply sin. It's sin. This sin originates in our hearts. In our hearts. James tells us not to boast in these things. People even boast about these things. Not to boast these things and to deny the truth. This is not godly wisdom, James says. This is wisdom from below that comes down from the earth, is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And James uses strong language to declare where this wisdom comes from. He lists three adjectives to describe earthly wisdom, each in descending order, as we see in the text. First, it's earthly. Step down, it's unspiritual. And third, it's demonic. Earthly is in contrast to that which originates in heaven. If you want to look, turn to John 3:12. There's a classic text that brings this out. John 3:12. You can see the contrast very, very clearly in this text. John 3:12. It says, "If I have told you earthly things," see, the earthly things, "and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of these heavenly things?" See the contrast? He's not talking about wisdom per se here, but he's contrasting the earthly things to the heavenly things. Second, unspiritual, the next step down the road. Your translations may say sensual or natural. The meaning here is simply it's at odds with the spiritual. It's against the spiritual. And we saw this word when we were in Jude chapter 1, verse 19. That verse said, "These are sensual persons." These are sensual persons who cause divisions. Same thing we see here. Not having the spirit. Same thing we see. They're unspiritual. And third, and the strongest language, it's demonic. Earthly wisdom, brethren, is demonic. Doesn't mean Satan has control of your life. He's, you know, you're possessed by Satan, but it is demonic. It's originating from the realms of demons is what he's saying here. That's the word he uses. Satan and his demons, brethren, love to whisper in your ear wisdom that they think will get you to obey them. Wisdom in your ear. Just do it. No one will know it. Just do it. Do what you're thinking. Do it. Nobody will know it. You can have what they have. Whatever it takes, you can have it. Whatever that would be. And we see in the early stages of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3:15, Satan whispered in Eve's ear. He said in Genesis 3:5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll have knowledge. You'll have wisdom. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, he's saying, you're going to have wisdom. Just do it. You'll have wisdom. Brethren, that is earthly wisdom. And look what it led to, the fall of mankind. And we even see in Scripture, Satan tempted Jesus himself, the Lord of all, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, when he was in the wilderness, tempted him over and over and over again. This wisdom, brethren, is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Demonic. These are not good gifts that come down from heaven, as James spoke about in chapter 1:17. He said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, speaking of the heavenlies, and comes down from the Father of lights. That's not what is in that text. And sadly, brethren, these sins are practiced in the church at large. These sins are practiced and happen in the church at large. What are some of the ways that we see this take place in the church today? Some in the church are envious of others' wealth. Even other churches are. Wow, look at that church up on the hill. We're envious of what other people's have, other people's wealth. Be it in the church or outside the church. We see it displayed in this matter. Some are envious or even of people's spiritual walk. Why is he this way and I'm this way? And you're envious of these things, brethren. Some are even envious of people standing in the church. I should be a minister. I should be a minister. I should be this. I should be that. These are the ways this jealousy comes out in the church today. Listen, there's nothing wrong with wanting to emulate a godly man or a godly person. Nothing to desire to be a teacher, to desire to be a minister, to desire to do whatever that thing would be that you would want to do. But being envious and jealous is sin. That is sin. It is earthly. It is unspiritual. And it is demonic, brethren. Putting it bluntly, like James always does. James concludes where worldly wisdom leads to. In other words, what is the result of this type of stuff that's going on here? Well, simply, verse 16 says, "For where jealousy or envy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder." The opposite of unity. There will be disorder and every vile practice. Or the NASB translates it, every evil thing. That's what that leads to in some form or in some way. Worldly wisdom leads to disorder and every vile practice. And as I said, James was selective in his description at first, envy, speaking of envy and self-ambition, but in verse 16 he expands that to include disorder and every evil thing. Brethren, that's where worldly wisdom leads to. Remember that. Remember that, unless one repents of these things, as we'll see. That's the road that leads to. But before we continue, I mentioned choice before. I spoke of choice, that James lays a choice before you. But before one can truly experience wisdom from above, before you can truly experience wisdom from above, the Bible says you need to be born again. You need to have faith in Christ. The world apart from God, brethren, makes choices every day. And there are some who may put you to shame morally on the things that they do. But apart from being saved, their good choices, even though they're good, will not lead to anything. Isaiah 64:6 says, "It's filthy rags in the sight of the Lord." How good they may look in the reality of our eyes, they are filthy rags in front of the Lord. Not that the people don't do what we're going to look at in a second. But John 3:7 says, you must be born again to experience this godly wisdom that we're going to get at in this next section. You must be saved. And the Bible simply says, repent and believe in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ to do this. Repent and believe, Mark 1:15. Only then, are you able to make choices that the Lord delights in. And that's a blessing, brethren. And the Lord delights to see you saved and born again. Amen? So this sets the stage, brethren, for the contrast of wisdom from above that we're going to look at next. In verse 17, James tells us what wisdom from above is. And in verse 18, he tells us the result of wisdom from above. What's the result of this godly wisdom? True wisdom comes down from heaven. It's not from the earth. It comes down from heaven. It's a gift of God. that can be asked for and prayed for, as we've seen in James 1:5. It's a gift that God loves to give you. And it's a good gift that comes down, verse 1:17. And James in chapter 3, verse 17, uses seven words, or in our translations it comes out as a phrase at times, seven words or phrases that describe wisdom from above. Let's go through these quickly. It says in verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure. It's pure. Then peaceable. And your translations may vary, brethren, because these words sometimes are very hard to translate into English. They're peaceable, first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy and good fruits. One phrase. It's impartial. And it's sincere. That's the description. First of all, wisdom from above is pure. It's pure as God is pure. It's pure because God himself is pure, Scripture says. It finds its origin in Jesus Christ. He is pure. And brethren, pure is simply a synonym for holy. It's holy. Wisdom from above is first holy. Then the next three words are adjectives that describe the attitude of one who has wisdom from above. First of the three words, it's peaceable. Wisdom from above is peaceful. In other words, it's peace-loving. You will, when you have wisdom from above, you will be a peaceable person. You will love peace. You will not always be at war. It's a desire to be at peace, not contentious. Not contentious. This peace should dominate, brethren, your thinking. The shalom of God should dominate your thinking in life. Proverbs 3:17 says, this wisdom's paths are peace. This wisdom's paths are peace. It's equating the wisdom, the path of wisdom. It is peace. That's what it is. This takes nothing away from contending for the faith. Not at all. There's a place, and it might be a place every day, to contend for the faith in your life. This does not do not. But it says, what I get out of this is do so in peace. Do it in a peaceful manner. Romans 12 verse 8 says, if possible at all, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And that means the one you're going against, brethren. If we remember that, it's wisdom from above that tells us this. Because brethren, it's only by God's grace you're not on the other side of the coin. The one you're talking to, the one you're trying to convince, be it a pagan or whatever. It's only by God's grace you are not on the other side. Simply put, remember that. Every time you contend for the faith, be it with a straight-out atheist, one who curses God, remember, it's only by God's grace. That ain't you. That ain't you. And James places peace right up front. Right up front. It's that important to him. It's that an important guidance in this wisdom from above. And also, he concludes with peace, as we're going to see in verse 18. So it's at the top end and at the back end. It's an aspect of wisdom from above, brethren, we should desire, we should plead for, we should strive for, we should pray for peace, brethren. And sometimes that's hard in our lives with so much things going on. Pray for peace. Whatever you're doing in your life, schooling, working, driving, whatever, pray for peace. It's a wisdom, an aspect of wisdom from us. Second of the three adjectives is gentle, or some of your translations might say considerate. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Same thing we just seen in earthly wisdom. Selfish ambition or conceit. I'm the best. But in, see the contrast, but in lowliness or in meekness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Esteem others better than yourself. That'll take you a long way. That is wisdom from above, brethren. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Let that be a mark of who you are. Be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all men. the Lord is at hand. Wisdom from above considers others better and places them first. That's wisdom from above, brother. Not I'm in first in line here. I've been here the longest. I'm number one. No, I'm last. Let me serve you. Let me serve you. All in meekness, quietness, gentleness. On the other hand, worldly wisdom could be harsh, self-ambitious, putting yourself first. I'm first here. But wisdom from above, brethren, is pure, it's peaceful, and it's gentle. The third aspect of wisdom from above in your attitude is a willing to yield. How many of us have a willing to yield? I hope so. Other translations may see reasonable. Say reasonable. You should be reasonable. Wisdom from above is reasonable. It's submissive. All things some of us don't like to do. Always ready to listen. I have a tendency to talk, you know, and I, even in conversations, I have to shut up and listen. I need to grow in that area. To listen, to know when to talk and to know when not to talk. Open, brethren, to being wrong. I've been wrong on theological issues for a long time in my walk as a believer. And I may be still wrong today on theological issues. I'm open to reason. I'm open to correction. I'm open to being wrong. No matter how much you think you're right, be open to being wrong, brethren, able to take admonition and correction. Be open to taking correction. That is wisdom from above, brethren. That's wisdom from above. This is an aspect of wisdom from above that all of us struggle with. We don't want to be corrected. We don't want to take admonition. Sometimes we don't want to be reasonable. We struggle with it. But it's wisdom, brethren, we all need as believers to have in our lives. The old nature always wants to be right. You ever been around people? They're always right. I've been. And part of this is being teachable. We all must be teachable, not stubborn. Even teachers, when Brother Allen was teaching us the class, he says, I'm a student too. So this is an attitude that we should have in life. Be teachable, brethren. Be teachable. You haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. We'll arrive when the Lord calls us home. Don't be stubborn. No, it's my way or the highway. Not an attitude of I know everything and I don't want to yield to nothing, but willing to yield and to grow, brethren. Great, great godly advice from James. The next category describes wisdom from above in action. Wisdom from above in action. And it's simply as full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy, good fruits. One aspect that we're going to look at. The one who is blessed with wisdom from above, from godly wisdom, is full of mercy and compassion. Is full of mercy and compassion. Well, what does that look like? Or what can this look like? It could simply look, as James brought out before, you will show compassion to the poor. You will have a desire to help the poor. Even the drunk who may need, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant to help someone who's, I mean, they're in need. They got the swollen, this and that. I'm hesitant to give them money. But there's got to be a way to help even that one in his sickness of alcohol addiction, you know, sinful nature of alcohol addiction. Be ready to help the poor. Food, whatever it would take, brethren. Have compassion. Care for those in need in whatever way that works itself out in your life. Students, elderly, people with handicaps. That's how mercy works its way out in our lives as we, this wisdom from above, full of mercy and good fruits. and care for the lost, brethren. Not every one of us is called to go out and stand on a soapbox in the corner, and that's a great thing to desire to do and to do. But every one of us is not called to do that, or we don't have the ability to do it, and for whatever reason. But we are all called to pray for the lost. When you know men are going out, or who's ever going out, pray for them. The men and the women going here and there, pray. Plead for the Lord to have, to bless that. And at the minimum, be a light to those around you. Whatever that would be, in the store, in your family, be a light, brethren. Care for the lost. Care for them. That'll bring you a long way to understanding wisdom from above. And this is wonderfully displayed in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Look at that. It's in Luke 10 in your day-to-day. Meditate on that. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Showing mercy to who? To the deserving ones? No, to the undeserving ones. To those who are undeserving. The ones that nobody wants to show mercy to. And remember, brethren, Jesus showed you mercy at one time. He reached out to you in your wickedness and to me in my wickedness. When I was running hard, he reached out to me. I was undeserving. I was deserving of something, but not that. And he reached out to me. And God has set an example for you in Micah 6:8. Jot that down and I'll read it. And it's a command also. Micah 6:8, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, brethren, before your God. Beautiful. And so the one who has wisdom from above, the wise man, will be full of mercy. You will be full of mercy. But also, the text says, and good fruits. Things like caring for orphans and widows that we've seen in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Caring for orphans and widows. This is an aspect of good fruits in your life. And Jesus even spoke of good fruits in the believer's life. In Matthew 7:16, he says, by their fruit you will recognize them, or you will know them. By their fruit, by your actions, brethren. This is not just a thing that James came up with, harping on deeds and actions. No, Jesus says, by their fruit you shall know them. Brethren, these are all aspects of wisdom from above, brought about by God's gracious love to save sinners. If it wasn't for that, God's gracious love to save sinners, we might be doing some of these things, but we'd be doing them in our own strength and for our own glory. But because he has reached down and saved you, you can partake of this heavenly wisdom, this wisdom that is from above. When one is born again, Matthew 3:8 says, you will bear fruit. It says, therefore bear fruits, it says, in the plural, like it says in James, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Worthy of repentance. It's not saying bear fruits in order to be saved. It's bear fruits worthy of repentance, the opposite way around. So it's not a works righteous salvation, but a salvation that produces works, brethren, produces fruits. But verse 17 has two other aspects as he closes with wisdom from above that have to do with judgment. Not heavenly judgment, but judgment on our part. Wisdom from above is impartial and without hypocrisy, or sincere, as some of our texts would say. And to be impartial, brethren, is simply to be free of prejudice. To be impartial is to be free of prejudice. Wisdom from above calls you to be genuine without pretense. Be genuine without pretense. Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. All of this is based around love, brethren. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Or hate earthly wisdom and hold fast to godly wisdom, as James might say it. And doing these things, brethren, without hypocrisy. Being sincere in your hearts. These are the things, brethren, that are characteristic of wisdom from above. It's probably not all. This is just what James brings out in this text. These are the things that he mentions that are wisdom from above. Probably the list could go on of what wisdom from above is. They are in total opposition from worldly wisdom. Exact opposite of worldly wisdom. The wisdom that envies. The wisdom that seeks itself first. I'm number one. Numero uno. That's me. It seeks selfish ambition. I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to do it my way, as Frank Sinatra said. It ends with disorder and every vile practice or every evil thing. That's the result of that. But wisdom from above, brethren, is pure. It's holy, as God is holy. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. And brethren, these are all characteristics of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All characteristics of our Lord and Savior. Christ was and is the pure one. He is the holy one. That is who he is. Sinless from conception. He is peaceful. He opened not his mouth when slandered. He's gentle as he ministered to the little ones and the woman at the well, as we see in John. He was open to reason. He submitted to the Father's will. He's full of mercy to save a people from all humanity. Full of mercy to save a people from all humanity who are deserving of nothing but his wrath. Jesus' life was one of good fruits. All of these things. He was impartial. Romans says he was not a respecter of man. It's not from anything on you. And he was without hypocrisy. He was sincere, brethren. You see, the reality is Jesus is wisdom. He is wisdom from above. He is all that is wise. All that is wise. And only, brethren, remember this, only in him can you partake in this wisdom from above. It's only because of him that you can partake in wisdom from above. It's not that nothing you gear up in. There's people who do these things, but they're doing them in their own strength and for their own glory to some extent. To some extent. This is brought about when we partake in Christ. When we are in Christ, we can partake in this wisdom. And so James, brethren, completes the text in verse 18 very briefly with the result of wisdom from above. Your translations vary on verse 18. We saw the results of earthly wisdom. It brought about strife. It brought about jealousy, ambition. Now James calls our attention to the result. Literally, in the text, it's the fruit of wisdom from above. It's translated the harvest, but it's the fruit. That's the word. It's the fruit of wisdom from above. And remember, in your minds, wisdom from above is pure. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial, without hypocrisy or sincere. This, brethren, wisdom brings about unity and peace in the church. It brings about unity and peace. The result is verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is how James concludes our text today. Those who are in Christ are righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus' death on the cross to atone for your sin, to take your place. You are righteous in God's eyes in that manner. But James is ending saying, the result of displaying and walking in wisdom from above is a harvest of righteousness. It's a harvest of righteousness. And that, I believe, is pointing back to verse 17. What those things were that I just said. Pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, not hypocritical, sincere. The effects of godly wisdom, brethren, is simply peace. It's shalom in Christ. In Christ alone, brethren. And so, brethren, I plead with you to reject worldly wisdom. It's all around you. You may not even know it. It's all around you. It's in your face all the time. Reject worldly wisdom. Not only those things that James spoke about, but wherever you see it. James zoned in on envy and self-ambition. We need to be aware of this in our hearts. You might not think you're envious of people. You might not think you have this sin of self-ambition in your heart. Colossians 3:5 says, put these things to death. Put these, as the Puritan said, mortify these sins in your life. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly. Use the word there. What is earthly in you? And then he gives a list. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, wanting what other people have, all of which is idolatry. But we can add to this list. And one aspect I wanted to add to this list is the mentality of pragmatism in the church. The mentality of pragmatism. Earthly wisdom says, whatever works, do it in the church. And the church brings this into its doors. This sin is rampant, brethren, in the church today. It's rampant, and it takes many, many, many forms. As many cave into earthly wisdom, to worldly wisdom. And brethren, we are all lacking to some degree in wisdom from above. Let's face it. We are all lacking in wisdom from above to some degree. Wisdom that is pure, we're lacking in. Wisdom that is peaceable, we're lacking in. Wisdom that is gentle, we lack in. Open to reason, we're lacking. Full of mercy and good fruits, we lack in. Impartial and sincere. The question is, brethren, before we close, I ask, what areas are you lacking in this list that James puts before you? What are the areas that are lacking in your life? Or, on the other side, what are the areas of earthly wisdom that is in your life? What are these areas? Where you lack, brethren, James exhorts you to pray. Pray to God for this wisdom from above. Pray for heavenly wisdom, James 1:5, and it will be given you generously. It will be given. You have to pray for it. You have to ask for it. It all goes back to that. And as you pray, brethren, I would ask you to pray specifically, and this goes for myself, to be pure, to be holy, to be set apart for God and His work. Maybe there's an area that you're holding on to in your life where this is a problem. We all have areas in our life, brethren. Pray to be pure. Pray to be holy. Pray to be set apart for the work that God has called each of you to do. Pray for that. Pray to be pure. Pray to be peaceable. Some of us could be contentious. Pray for a peaceable attitude. Pray to be gentle amongst your brethren as you interact with each other. Pray to be gentle. Pray to be reasonable. Pray to be open to reason. And pray to be full of mercy and good fruits. Pray to be full of mercy and good fruits for those who need mercy. And pray for impartiality. And pray to be non-hypocritical. Be sincere, brethren, in what you do. If your answer is no, I can't do that, well, it's no, you can't do it. Don't say yes and you're going to, 2 days later, I can't do it. No, be sincere. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So that the harvest, as verse 18 ends, so that the harvest of righteousness may be sown in peace in each of your lives. Brethren, may the Lord grant you these things that James spoke about in our text today, and keep granting you these things, keep filling you with these things from above, this heavenly wisdom from above to your very soul. And may you all trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the great peacemaker, the great shalom of God, whose perfect life and atoning death has reconciled you unto God, that you may partake in wisdom from above. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the book of James. We thank you for the word. We give you all the glory in our lives. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would impart change in our lives where change is needed. All of us need change, Father God. Would you impart that? Bless us as we pray for these things, Lord, that you would bless your people with wisdom from above, that our conduct may be good and our deeds a blessing to you, Father God. And we thank you for this day. We pray again that your word would not return void, O Lord. And what a joy it is to gather together even on a cold day and a wet day. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to this place. In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen.